This is Iberian Property Insights, an initiative aimed for those who want to be updated on the Iberian real estate sector. My name is Alexander Lima. Joining me in this episode of our podcast is João de Rubens Valente and Marisa Larguin, both from Moraes Leitão.
Moraes Leitão is a leading full-service law firm headquartered in Lisbon. We provide legal services in Portugal, Angola, Cape Verde, Mozambique, and Singapore, presenting a team of more than 250 lawyers. Thanks to our clients, we are able to assist in the most innovative and complex deals with a careful and frequently groundbreaking advice.
In December, we addressed in this podcast the Spanish listed real estate sector, so now it is only fair that we take this chance to discuss the Portuguese one. So, my first question is the following. Rates continue to grow in popularity across Europe. In 2019, the model of rate was introduced into the Portuguese legal framework with the creation of the so-called CGs. We have only two or three CGs at this moment. So my question is simple. What is missing to attract more companies to join this regime?
Thank you for the invitation on behalf of Moraes Leitão. We are also very honored to be able to participate in this venue and the opportunity to share some thoughts regarding the Portuguese market and technically the Portuguese regime of the Portuguese REITs, the so-called CGs. What has been stopping us from increasing the number of CGs in Portugal? We have assisted the existing ones, so we have basically participated, we Moraes Leitão participated and we have advised on the creation of the existing CGs in the country, and so we are very tuned on that, and we are currently involved on behalf of the Developers Association in the attempt, and also on behalf of Euronext in the attempt to revise what's still missing in order to be able to create a boost in the Portuguese market and allowing us to have an equivalent number of REITs in Portugal like in Spain. So what's missing? In our perspective, differently from Spain, where you can have a SOCIMI, the Spanish REIT, holding below property companies, several property companies, like an holding company, and this is feasible in Spain. In Portugal, it's not. In Portugal, it's mandatory that below the CG, the Portuguese REIT, you have the direct assets. So you cannot have, the CG cannot work as a holding company, and this is still not allowed. We are trying to revise this rule, but it's still not allowed. And due to that, the attractiveness of this vehicle is not so good. And so developers that currently hold many prop companies where they have their own assets in Portugal, both Portuguese investors and or foreign investors, they would like to change if they want to be under the CG, the Portuguese REIT system and regime, they cannot do it. They are obliged to have one REIT, one CG per asset, which is something that it's not easy to implement.
Marisa, in which phase are we? Would you say we are still in some way in a learn how to walk in phase?
I would like to thank you this opportunity also in my own name and in the name of Moraes Leitão. It's a pleasure to be here today to talk to you about this kind of these kind of matters that are very interesting for us as lawyers and for our country, which needs clearly vehicles to invest in real estate. I think that the approval of this regime, and we cannot forget this, is a step, an important step in the right direction, meaning that we have approved a regime that is similar to the REITs regime that is internationally known and able to attract investors worldwide. This is a regime that has proven success, and then it gives trust to those who are used to this kind of vehicles. And this kind of vehicles, the CFDs in particular, allows for a kind of democratization of the investment. Why? Because they allow for a small investor, for instance, to participate in big real estate projects. Similarly, it has other aspects that are very attractive and cannot be forgotten, such as the possibility of having the return of the investment quite quickly, because the rules oblige to distribute the dividends that the project allows for. And then this is also a good thing that the regime implemented in Portugal. Similarly, it is a very simple investment product. The investors can anticipate not only the return, but they can understand that what is the object they are investing into. So it is quite easy to understand the product that is behind the investment. And it is good because it's clear and gives transparency. And finally, as it is, there is an obligation to list the shares. Transparency rules are applicable, which is good for somehow attract international investors.
Is there any European example that we should try to aim and follow?
I would say that the closer the CG regime is from the rates regime, such as OSIM in Spain or other regimes for this kind of vehicles in other countries, the better to attract investment in Portugal. We should note that the CG regime was implemented in Portugal for the very first time in 2019. So it's a quite recent regime. And of course, that when it is the first time, there are usually some kind of stuff that you will need to somehow improve. So this is all of this is to say that this is good to have this regime. It was a good step in the right direction. Of course, there are some characteristics that may be fine-tuned. For instance, of course, that you should look into the market, into the Portuguese market, and understand what it is, and it is not, it is a small market and a concentrated market. So the dispersion rules applicable to CGs probably are not adequate. And if you change this, probably you will have more success with this vehicle. Similarly, if you have a clear tax regime applicable to this kind of vehicles, you will have more attractiveness of this kind of vehicles. And there are other technical aspects that may be fine-tuned. For instance, maybe the financing rules and refinancing rules of the vehicle may be subject to some improvement. But in my perspective, I believe that with some minor changes, but relevant changes, we can make this regime more attractive to investment in Portugal. And the CGs could be a very good instruments for several catching several kind of investments, and the investment is really needed in Portugal.
On top of what Marisa just said, to say that, also in Spain, when the SOCIM regime kicked in and was approved, the regime was not marvelous. So it was not so attractive, and the number of SOCIMs at the beginning was scarce. With this in mind, in Spain, the regime was then, some years after, revised, like in Portugal, we are aiming to revise, and adjusted to the market, and now it's flourishing. So what we are seeing in Portugal, it's a good step towards the creation that was taken some years ago, and now we are discussing the revision that is required in order to make it so flourishing like in Spain, because the regime itself, in terms of creation, was a good step. We need just to make some fine tunes and refine it a little bit just to make it more efficient, let's call it like that.
Perfect. I hope our listeners are taking notes. It was a perfect landscape. Thank you both. And another thing is the creation of new vehicles, such as SICAFIS, is also generating curiosity among investors. Without getting into much technical details on the difference on both, what is the attractiveness of SICAFIS, and what other main options do investors have to allocate capital to the country?
So I would say that the two main milestones attached to the the current SIC regime in Portugal is two folders. One folder, the first one is the layer that corresponds to the professionalization of the asset management in Portugal. Obviously, that having regulated vehicles will contribute to the professionalism or to the more efficient and professional market in terms of real estate management and development in the country. And so this is the first folder, and this equals attractiveness in terms of institutional and foreign investment into the real estate sector into the country. The second layer, which is obvious, and it's underlying both the CG and the SIC, the SIC meaning the investment companies regime, which is now what we are talking about, is the tax regime, meaning the fact that the investment companies being completely transparent and neutral in terms of taxes in their activity, only being taxed at the exit of the investment in the distribution of dividends, like in Spain. So the regime of the REITs, it's quite standard, and at least it tries to be standardized among all the jurisdictions, and so also in Portugal. So the tax regime is, this is also tax driven, obviously, but I would point out or underline the professionalization of the sector that comes, or it's also a consequence of the increase number of SICAFIS, SICs in the country.
We have a broad range of vehicles that may be used to invest in real estate projects in Portugal. And as such, I would say that there is no one-size-fits-all and that a case-by-case analysis shall be performed. In fact, I would say that several factors shall be considered when structuring a real estate investment, such as the purpose of the vehicle, the investor's target, incorporation and ongoing costs and timings, ups and downs of regulated versus unregulated vehicles for the concrete project, the regulatory burden, if applicable, governance of the vehicle, level of control over the portfolio, whether or not there are portfolio restrictions, of course, the tax framework applicable to the vehicle and to the investors of the vehicle, whether or not listing is envisaged or not, and if so, if there are free float requirements applicable, concrete regimes such as those applicable to related party transactions and conflicts of interest, whether or not a corporate entity is envisaged for the project, the exit rights applicable, dissolution and liquidation regimes, dividends policies, and so on and so forth. Bearing this in mind, for instance, if the purpose is to have full control over the company, which purpose is not only to invest in real estate, but also in other activities, perhaps an unregulated share limited company may be the best vehicle to suit the purpose. Conversely, if the interest is to set up a regulated entity specialized in real estate investment, probably a real estate formerly named SICAFI and now SIC, will suit better the intent. For instance, if admission to trading is relevant and the purpose of the vehicle is to invest in one sole asset, perhaps a CG would be better for the project. So to sum up, I would say, as I started to mention, that there is no one-size-fits-all. We have to look into the concrete project and the concrete purpose, and then assess
which is the best vehicle to address such project. Because, as I started to say, we have a broad range of structures that may be used here in Portugal. In what particularly concerns to the former CCAFIs, please note that we are talking about vehicles that are managed by a management company, because there are CCAF, former CCAFIs, now six, that may be self-managed. We are not talking about these ones. We are talking about those which are managed by a managing company, because those are the ones which have been more attractive in the recent years. We believe there are several reasons for such, notably because we are talking about vehicles with corporate form, and this corporate form allows for the conversion of previously existing unregulated limited companies, which gives speedness to the process of achieving a regulated vehicle. On the other hand, this kind of vehicles fits the interests of those we are looking for professional management, because they are managed by managing entities which are supervised by the CMVM, and they are subject to for instance, fit and proper tests. Furthermore, although this trend started before, the current asset management regime and the implementing regulation from the CMVM implementing the asset management regime sets forth simpler procedures for this kind of vehicle, and then this gives more attractiveness to them.
So basically, in a nutshell, one size does not fit all. So the Portuguese REIT, the six venture capital companies, private companies by shares that are the usual drill to invest in real estate in Portugal are common options, and so we don't have one size fits all. So we need to see the situation in edge, on a case-by-case basis.
Perfect. And overall, in terms of the listed Portuguese real estate sector, how would you rate their contribution to the Portuguese economy over the last couple of years? We have talked about transparency, about democratization of the investment, that it's easier to understand what is behind. Do they have kind of a motive to do most like better choices on where to allocate their capital, to follow the most recent trends like investing in ESG compliant assets and all of that? How would you say that these companies are applying to that?
I would say that effectively the Portuguese REITs are effectively democratic in the sense that they are based in capital spread over the public, and so this is effectively democracy at the capital or share capital level. But this said, I would also say that the Portuguese investment companies, the six, because they can be created using pre-existing joint private companies by shares that have already or that already hold assets, Portuguese assets, real estate portfolios in the country, and the chance of transforming those existing companies into regulated companies, into SIGs, this has, in my perspective, commoditized and democratized the market, the investment vehicles market, because it allowed the market and the sector to use existing companies with existing and standing portfolios to transform and make it regulatory-oriented, regulated vehicles that are professionally managed and professionally driven. And this has increased in the last 5 years. As a result of that, obviously, the assets under management of these type of vehicles in Portugal in these last 5 years, where this has been bread and butter in terms of investment vehicles for any institutional that comes here, this has increased the AUM under management has increased a lot, and so this has been a real boost in the country, and we expect, unless there is any change in the regime, which we are not anticipating, this will continue, and that's what we are seeing in the market. This also has made or caused, obviously, because the vehicles are regulated, this has brought transparency. ESG is effectively also a lot underlying the vehicles. This has been a requirement from CMVM in the last couple of years. And the appraisers and the reliance that we now may have in the value of the underlying assets, because by being regulated, this means also that the vehicles are by law mandatorily obliged to have regular appraisers of the assets under management. This means that the assets are the value of the assets, it's duly reflected in appraisers, it's transparent to the market, and this obviously creates more strength and boosts more institutional investment into the country.
Are there any other major legal and tax updates? We are entering a new year that investors should be aware of in the Portuguese regulation.
To be honest, I believe that we have faced in Portugal in the last year a very relevant amendment to the regime, that is the asset management regime that was approved in April of last year. And that gave to the Portuguese market an instrument, a legal instrument, that gives more flexibility and more simplicity. That is something that is claimed from investors and for all the players across the years concerning the asset management in Portugal.
To sum up, the asset management regime, both the decree law and the implementing CMVM regulation, has the benefit of simplifying rules and procedures and unifying several regimes that were previously set out in segregated laws. Usually, simpler regulation is better regulation, of course, provided that the market is mature enough to allow for it. This being said, I would not expect major amendments to this recent asset management regime, other than those necessary to address mandatory European laws in these matters that are in the pipeline, but always hoping that we continue the trend of avoiding gold plating whenever possible.
In what refers to the CGs that we have talked before, as we have said, we believe that with some fine-tunes to the regime currently in force, there will be more attractiveness of this kind of vehicle here in Portugal. We all know that now the parliament was dissolved, so I believe that there is a good opportunity to open the door again to the discussion of this fine-tuning that shall be included in this regime, to give more attractiveness of investment in Portugal by means of this vehicle.
I fully agree with that. So, in a nutshell, asset management-wise, we are in shape in Portugal, legal-wise, because we have the regime, the regulations, but on the Portuguese REITs, given the elections, that may be the opportunity to implement the fine-tuning that is required to make it happen really in the Portuguese sector, in the Portuguese market.
Once again, I appreciate your time and your availability to enlighten us in what is a matter complex. So thank you both for participating. This was Iberian Property Insights, powered by Grupo Iberino.